What's up, Cal family? It's your boy, Rod. I'm back. It's been a week. Vegas is draining, bro. I'm not going to lie to you. Took a lot of energy just to like even start getting work done again this week. And then the game itself was just emotionally draining. And I don't just mean the score. It's a lot. Like, I kind of didn't see a decent amount of the second half. And that's because while we were comfortably up 18, Eddie, the old PA guy, I forget his last name. I don't forget it. I just don't really know how to pronounce it. And Monty Buckley and I were in a conversation where, you know, Monty was, you know, he was talking about a lot of things. So a lot of the game was happening. Like, keep in mind, it was at the T-Mobile Arena, which was sold out, quote unquote, which made it hard to get a ticket. But I guess for like the next game. So it wasn't a very full arena. So stuff was kind of happening with like lower than normal volume spaces. And I think we were just loud. So I didn't kind of see that last bit. And that sucks. But a lot happened this weekend, that weekend. Starting with, I was able to meet Marshawn Lynch again. I shouldn't say meet. We went to school together. In fact, I'm pretty sure he stole my Kool-Aid one time, but I've let it go because, you know, the total cost was, you know, 60 cents of damage, I want to say. I don't know how much Kool-Aid inflation, maybe that's a good metric, because it was like 12 cents a packet or something. And also, I don't know if it was him. There's a lot of people there. I just remember, like, dang, first time Marshawn comes over, Kool-Aid is missing. But again, there were a lot of people there. Could have been anyone. Could have been the whole women's basketball team. But yeah, Marshawn was at his store, Beast Mode, which I'm going to plug for him, which he doesn't know I'm doing. But you got to go down and check it out. It's a pretty cool store. They sell dope things. Someone had this Cal jacket that had the Beast Mode logo where Cal should be, where the C should be. And then it had the Cal logo on the side. Did he get that license? Beast Mode can do anything, man. That man's a superhero. But the team was also there. So, you know, that's why I went. It was a meet and greet type deal. And first of all, Marshawn, always a funny dude. He's actually like really... Is cagey the right word? Like, he's an introvert only until, like, he gets comfortable. So it's interesting because in college we saw each other all the time. And he's also different back then. Like, college was a freer time for him. He was in his hometown, I think. But since then, like, I saw him a few years ago, and it's like, oh, what's up? And I saw him, like, a couple years ago at the game, and he's like, oh, what's up? And I saw him a few days ago, he's like, oh, what's up? I'm gauging. There's a new index. There's the Kool-Aid index, and there's the Marshawn's What's Up to Me index, which I think seems to be trending upwards. It's like the it's the S&P 500. Hopefully it's not a bubble. But yeah, so the team was there also. And, you know, one thing that's interesting about being this age and going back around the team is, you know, I remember when I was on the team and we'd be forced to do events. Now, I'm sure as a team, they liked going to see Marshawn. I don't mean that was a bad event, but because you're forced to do a lot of events, you kind of just stand together and you're herded and you're waiting to be told when to go left and when to go right and then when to go home. So when I was a player, I remember if there was like random alumni around, especially if I didn't know them, my first thought would be like, bro, why is this old guy like just kicking it here, bro? Like, don't you have like old shit to do? Excuse my language. Don't you have like old guy things to do? Like, what are you doing here, old guy? And it's funny because I ran into one of those old guys at the scrimmage, the preseason scrimmage this year. I'm forgetting his name. I want to say it's Michael something. And when he was coming around the team, I remember we had this banquet in the back of Haas, and he must have been my age, maybe slightly younger, I don't know. And I was like, man, he looked young, kind of like he looked like a smooth brother, but why is this old brother here? Like, and I told him that day, and he's like, yeah, I could tell. And it's funny, I can like see that now. I can look back and see these dudes being like, all right, like, I think I like this dude. Maybe he's all right, but like, why is he always here, bro? Like, I seen him in San Diego. I seen him in Berkeley. I seen him at UCLA. I seen him in Vegas. Does he work for the team? What's happening here? No, I don't. I'm just another old brother who's around, I guess. But all that said, it's like it's hard to like initiate a conversation without initiating one with everybody at once. And who am I to walk in and like make some big announcement like, hey guys, I just want to say thanks. So I talked to Celestine for a minute, man. That dude is like a, you know, if you hold your hand out and it doesn't shake, like I don't think his hand ever shakes. Cool is the other side of the pillow, is the late Stuart Scott used to say. I spoke to Tyson for a second, maybe Cone, I don't remember. It all happened so fast. I'm trying to be like, boom, let's set up this interview, but it was all happening so fast. I do think Celestine and I will talk soon. I'd love to get an exit interview with Tyson. I think he probably will give me one, which would be dope. I told him straight up, like, bro, your league, what are we doing? What are we discussing? When he gets into those camps, he's going to make a lot of people look foolish, because that brother can play. But yeah, that was kind of it. And it's interesting because that's like maybe the last time I'll see some of these people in person. It's wild how that, you know, there's a finality to college sports, which, again, I'm hoping to break. Hoping to break that, but there's still a finality to leaving any team, where it's like an immediate, like, your whole life is going one way, then it just goes the other. And only so many people stay along for so long. And, you know, in my basketball career, there wasn't some big NIL or transfer portal. So, you know, I was at Cal 4 years. But the rest of my career, I'd be somewhere 2 years, 1 year, whatever. And a lot of those connections are much weaker. And my Cal connections, you know, because I was there 4 years and a lot of guys were, it's one of the deeper ones. So I hope that, you know, it isn't a full, this is the last time I see a lot of these guys, but it also could be. But like I said, if you do your senior night at Cal, I'm rocking with you. We're together in this. One very interesting thing about the Beast Mode store meetup was that, I won't say his name, but there was a donor there who I've met through doing this podcast, actually. And, you know, I told him, oh, let's catch up soon, because I'm trying to find, in fact, anyone listening, I'm trying to find a commercial space for a new studio in downtown LA where all the commercial buildings are super empty. So I'm like, somebody just give me a deal. Because they're all bank owned. Somebody just let me go in and make art, please. Anyways, so I'm like, I want to talk to you about that. But so I called him yesterday or the day before, and it turned into like an hour long conversation about the state of the program. You know, he's very invested in the team. You know, he told me he gave, you know, six figures to the NIL last year and this year. And, you know, I think because he knows I do the podcast, he was like trying to make a really strong point that the money's not there this year like it was last year. And that a lot of the biggest donors at Cal, they do give, but they give more to the Excellence Fund or to Cameron Institute or whatever. I mean, college donation structures are obviously super complicated for a lot of reasons. But the NIL is a very specific one, whereas he believes, and the proprietor of this website, Mr. Richardson, also believes that money is king. And I do not disagree with them at all. I'm repeating that message very clearly because not only do I think he'd want me to repeat it, I think he kind of felt like whatever's being done right now while the portal is open is not enough. I don't have money to give, so I, if I could, I would, but I have other things to give. And what I was telling him in this conversation was, you know, I personally don't think we'll ever compete money-wise with the ACC. Now, excluding, like, just literal economic factors, like, hey, all these anonymous donors can give all they want in North Carolina, but there's not that much economy. There's not that much, you know, wealth there. So if something dries up, that things could change very quickly. But let's say they don't. I don't think we'll ever compete dollar-wise. So we kind of have two issues, right? Like, there's a bunch of people who need to contribute to the NIL because it's the only way to get certain guys. And I've been told, like, literally, like, different star rating players have different numbers. Like, literal, like, almost like a pay scale, which I'm not going to get into, but those guys really believe in that. And so I do know that that's as true as true is true. But I also did a podcast a while ago where I talked about my friend Sheldon Bailey, who has a four-star point guard son who, you know, had never heard from Cal. Now, this was before, you know, Cal had already done their recruiting for this current season, and I don't think it really – I don't know what class this kid's in. I want to say he's a senior, though. And Sheldon was – I asked Sheldon very clearly, straight up, do you – think money is the number one factor? And he's like, of course, like, you know, like, and I'm like, yeah, makes sense. And I'm like, well, let's say a school could give you 100K or they could give you 70K, but it's like this, or they could give you 50 and it's like this. And he's like, I mean, all of those are options. And he's like, further, depending on the school, where, you know, Sheldon's a very involved dad. His, you know, the reason I know him is because he played professional basketball. He's actually a LeBron James body double, if you Google it. But he was like, because some of those things will move my son further along in the future. And also, he was like, you know, keep in mind, Rod, like, as I know how the game goes, like, if there are things that build him in a different way, like, I understand that. And I'm like, okay, that's what I figured. Like, I actually really expected that answer. I just asked him, and I asked a few other parents of now teenage basketball players the same question, because I know a lot of them. And they all answered the same way. So it's kind of interesting. Like, I do think money is absolutely king, but it becomes more king the less other things you have to offer. So let's say... North Dakota State. I used to live in North Dakota. North Dakota State wants to get a five-star recruit. Yeah, you know what? Literally, unless that kid is born on the Lakota Reservation, like, which borders campus, he's probably not going to go there. So then money is 100% king. If you're going to get a five-star kid from Florida, well, for whatever reason, we can offer you $5 million. He's probably going to go to that school. Now, every other school, there's a cascading kind of thing, a sliding scale between, like, prestige, expectation, whatever, and money. And so the number one schools in the country can offer kind of everything. Yeah, we'll give you whatever dollar amount you want. And we also have this great community of alumni and blah, blah, blah. We also have great marketing in this way, blah, 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 blah. We have people who think outside the box in this way, blah, 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 blah. So what I was trying to make clear to this donor that day was that I've had these conversations, and the more we make money king, the more it will be king. Right? If you, like, I think about, like, how the Chinese finger trap to me is, like, the most, like, important lesson in life. The more you try to do the thing, sometimes the less you do the thing you're trying to actually do. Oh man, there's so much traffic on this freeway. It's only got two lanes. Let's make it five lanes. Oh man, there's so much traffic on this freeway. Now you have the 8805 merger in San Diego, where it's like 12 lanes on each side and just as slow as it was when I was going to high school in 1998 to 2002. But again, I want to reiterate, almost like this is like sound the alarm, like boo-doo, boo-doo. We need every dollar we can get. Greg knows this, and this other person knows this. So I am not at all challenging that. What I'm saying is, I don't think we do enough other things to attract kids in other ways. At the end of the day, yeah, maybe the five-star is going to cost a certain dollar, and that's not going to change because Cal hasn't built something. It might take years to build the type of things that will attract that person. But I'm not going to lay out all my ideas here. But there's so many ways to close this gap. Even if, like, the people giving to the Excellence Fund are like, you know what, I just do not agree with the NIL structure. Great, the Excellence Fund goes towards a million different things. I mean, it's only been around a couple of years, so I'm not going to, like, sit over here and, like, hate on it in some tremendous way, because I can't. It takes years for programs to work out. All I can say is that I bet it's not as efficient as it could be. I bet some of these things could be alleviated right now if we just had even one former Cal basketball player working in the Cameron Institute. You know, I was explaining to him kind of this, the inefficiency of some of these systems, which is just to say, well, if and I like the Cameron Institute. I love that it exists. It didn't exist when I was there. This is not hating on it at all, or the people that work there at all. I have had some great conversations with those people. It's to say, just from like a business perspective, okay, we're going to hire people who went to other schools to come to Cal, to contact alumni at random, to hopefully have them come back and work with Cal students. And I'm like, that's a lot of middlemen. I don't care what someone's qualifications are. If one basketball player was in that office, who cared? Jason Gant comes to mind. He's wanted to work there. And he works in mental health and all that. Well, then way more people will take his call. The business would actually work better and cheaper, and you'd be supporting alumni in a different way. And boom, I can't even name all the crosshairs. And that's just one, like, one hire, right? Like, so it's not, to me, it's not that Cal is doing anything wrong. It's just that when you have less total resources, in my opinion, as an artist, you need to use them differently. You got to figure out a way to beat someone, because we will never have more money. I never say never. Shoot, there might be a new gold rush. I don't even know. Maybe we will. Assuming the last 50 years of what money has come into our school stays consistent, we will literally never have more money. So if money's the whole game, we are conceding that we will always be wherever our money places us, which is in the middle. But I'm saying, with all the money we can raise, which again, give all you can, I think there's a few very creative ways to change how this whole program is viewed. And this is actually not a hateful thing. This is important because we're entering the season of recruitment. And I wasn't involved at all in paying attention to that last year, but now I am. It's about to go down. I'm about to lock in. I might even do some of this labor for free just to test. I'm not saying I'll help land a recruit, but I'm saying I might test some things out while we're recruiting and see how the recruits respond. Because there's so many ways to do this. Just like any, like if Cal was a tech company, wouldn't they try to hire the youngest, most like out the box thinking people they could but also with the most qualifications? Like I'm saying that a lot of the decisions that are made there are just not fresh. And give all the money you can. But if we just freshen up a little bit, I think we'll be in great shape, personally. And as long as we're recruiting and working together on that, again, it's a team effort. I think even like conversations like this will help that. Things Cal hasn't had. When I was in Vegas, I stayed with my boy, Sam Glazer. He lives in Vegas. He is a partner at, I want to say it's called Stitched in the Cosmo. High-end menswear. He's very interested in building a network in Las Vegas. So I suggest if you go there, hit him up. Hit me up and ask where he is, et cetera, on social media. But that's another example, right? Like me talking to Monty Buckley, as I mentioned earlier, the things that he wants. You know, I'm like, he's like, Cal doesn't do this. Cal doesn't do this. I'm like, I know. He's like, they could so easily. I'm like, I know. He's like, and I'm like, well, he's like, well, you know, they don't. I'm like, I know. He's like, well, it's not going to change. I'm like, it will. Because we're all focused on it now. There are new people considering how to better this situation. Because I'll tell you this. This donor man that started this conversation is extraordinarily worried about what recruits we're going to get. So he and I kind of, all the words I just said to you, I kind of said to him the other day. We spoke again for like an hour, hour and a half. He thinks we don't have a shot at this guy, don't have a shot at this guy. I mean, if you're the type of person who follows Bear Insider, I'm sure you're aware of what guy A and guy B are. And I really don't know yet. I'm about to start diving into the recruiting stuff this week. What I can tell you is that he's probably right as things are currently constructed. And some of the things I'm talking about are longer term fixes. But to me, sometimes that's what it takes. Longer term investment in the people that built the program, I think. And I actually really don't think it takes much. I consider myself somebody who could build a brand from 0 to 60 much quicker than most people who work in their marketing departments. But I actually think a lot of the people listening to this right now have fantastic ideas. I've read some of them. I don't reply to all of them because I just don't got time for all that. But I read all of them. I'm like, man, that's a good idea. Man, I hope this person follows through on that. Man, if that person plants this seed, I don't even think they realize how big that's going to end up growing. So I know maybe you're expecting some big recap of the overtime loss. But man, that game sucked in the end. And again, I missed kind of a decent amount of it talking about this stuff. And I got to say, I'm gonna end this by saying I'm going to give Madsen credit. He's brought the energy I was hoping he would bring. He and I spoke a month before the season. He called me. I was leaving the art store. I'm carrying these canvases. And he's like, hey, what's up? It was like so open-ended. I'm like, hey, what's the scuttlebutt? But at a certain point, I told him, I'm like, I believe that you are going to do a good job. And I'm not really that worried. And at the end of the season, I can say that I feel validated in that. I'm going to do like a full season recap. That's part of the reason I'm leaving some technical stuff out here. Where I'll give him some more flowers. But this team dealt with a lot. And when I, you know, think about it all in context, I think we did really well. But yeah. This wasn't about the basketball as much as the goals. We're in the next stage. Mark got us here. We got us here. The players that came in for 1 year got us here. Now's the time to keep going. You know what I'm saying? Keep it going. Until that season recap, it's been Rod Benson. It's been a season. But I think there's potential for more. Holler at your boy. Peace.